Hello, this is Emma Berry. One of the really popular features in TDN last year was the excellent column by Pat Smullen, former multiple champion jockey in Ireland. Pat gave us great insight on the racing action throughout the season, and of course this year there hasn't really been much action to speak of at all so far. But with racing almost under orders to resume in Britain and Ireland, I caught up with Pat to have a chat about all that we have to look forward to in some action-packed weeks to come.
Hi Pat, great to hear you. Hope you're keeping yourself well occupied during lockdown. How are things out there with you?
Yeah, hi Emma. I must admit my life hasn't changed a great deal with all the restrictions. Luckily we have the farm here and it's kept us busy and entertained, and we've always found something to do every day. But I suppose the biggest thing that's missing out of our lives is actually racing, and that's something I found very difficult to sort of live without.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been strange for us all, isn't it? We sort of have a pattern of getting up and being involved with the horses in the morning, whether it's riding out or mucking out or whatever, and then we're either going racing or watching racing. So not having that for a prolonged period was quite disconcerting, really, wasn't it?
Very much so, obviously, I think a lot of us are creatures of habit, and, as you say, when you attend to daily chores early in the morning, the next thing was to sit down and go through the race card of the upcoming racing on the day and go through the form, and even with me not riding, I still tend to do that and look at the upcoming racing, and not having that was quite strange. It's a big part of your day missing, but hopefully that will change in the very near future.
Absolutely, and I imagine you've probably been in contact with some of your former weighing room colleagues, and I imagine they're very frustrated as well with the situation. So we had a situation, particularly in Ireland, where you had a short period of racing behind closed doors, so they had a taste of what it could be like, and then suddenly everything was taken away from us. I mean, what's the mood like generally about the idea of, obviously, everyone, I guess, is excited about getting back to racing, but we're getting back to a very different way of racing, aren't we?
Yeah, I think overall, I think everybody is just, from a jockey's perspective, speaking to a lot of my friends and, past colleagues, they're just desperate to get back racing. I mean, it's going to be totally different to what it has ever been before. But I think we were lucky here in Ireland that we got to sort of sample or trial or whatever way you want to put it, 10 race days behind closed doors. So, that structure is there and in place. So, and I think we've a little bit of an advantage that way, that they have got to do that and experience it, and everybody knows the protocols. So they're pretty much ready to go again. But obviously racing behind closed doors with no atmosphere and no attendance there, it's quite different to what the lads were telling me, and as you'd expect. But at this point, I think everybody's just desperate to get back racing, and whatever form that is in.
Absolutely, and I mean, obviously everyone's safety is paramount, and that's particularly important with jockeys, because it's a risky sport anyway, and one where you're pretty closely bunched often in races. I've seen in France since they've started, everyone's riding in masks. I don't know if that's going to be the same in Britain and Ireland. I presume it might be. But I guess, they already have protocols in place to have the jockeys all, whether they're changing in their cars or changing different parts of the grandstand, just trying to keep people as apart as they can be.
Yeah, so, I think from what I gather that they will be required to wear masks when racing resumes. But I suppose the only thing that, we're lucky in that is, the expanse of a race course, that there is a lot of room, a lot of other buildings there, that apart from the weigh room, so they can spread the jockeys out so that they're not sitting on top of one another. They have already done that in the past, as I said, with those 10 previous meetings behind closed doors. So there is ample space there for social distancing and for the jockey to prepare and get ready for the rides without, coming too close to each other. So that's all in place and ready to go. So, to be fair, I think we here in Ireland are pretty ready. And as I said, that's that model is there and in place, and everyone has had a taste of it and knows what's required. So, we're luckily ready to resume. Hopefully, on the 8th of June.
Yes, indeed, and I imagine for the trainers particularly, well, and owners as well. But in this time of the year, or even earlier, sort of planning up towards the classic season, it's a real progression that we're used to of, building the horses up gradually and then, generally going through trials and up to the classic races. And we're going sort of wham bam into a real, it's going to be thrilling action, hopefully, to watch from the start. But it's a very unusual scenario for most trainers. They'd like to give a prep run before going into these big races to find out where they're at, I guess.
Yes, of course, and see how your horse is. A certain amount of homework and prepare your horse, but there's no substitute for a run. I know in the past it has become more and more common to go to, let's say, a Guineas without a prep run, and with the facilities that all trainers have these days now, that they can do that and get horses fit enough for their first run without a prep. But in general, everyone likes to see how they get on with their first run and progress from there. So it's totally different, but it's just a totally different year, and it's going to be that way till the end of the season. Now, hopefully, when we do resume, that it's now something that I've never ever experienced before. So everyone's just going to have to be in the same boat and try and get their horses as fit as they possibly can at home, and just get them out and get running. And there's probably going to be an advantage to some trainers that are a little bit harder on their horses at home and will have them fitter than others. And, I'm sure the other trainers that are happy to have their horses prepared to whatever percentage, maybe 80% fit for the first run, will get rewarded as the year goes on. I'm sure those horses will improve as the season progresses. So it's a balancing act. It's totally unprecedented. The situation that we're in, but the one thing is for certain that if there's 7 or 8 races on a day, there'll be 7 or 8 winners, and everyone will be happy with that. But as I said, it's a case of just getting back and getting horses out and getting them running now.
Yes, indeed. And even with 3-year-olds, if we're talking about the classic year, they're still very young horses, and through the season, this is still a very early time of the year. We see horses progress all the time. And this is far from ideal what we're dealing with. But at the same time, I guess it may give opportunities to horses that have needed a little bit more time and perhaps not being pushed as much as they'd have had to have been in the past. And, there are benefits to an unfortunate situation, I would imagine.
No question. There's going to be obviously, there's going to be the Guineas run as the later date in June as opposed to in May, and that month or 6 weeks is going to be beneficial to some rather than others. So the more precocious 3-year-old that would have been sharp and ready from an active 2-year-old career would have an advantage in early May, but. Now the pendulum's going to swing in favour of the later maturing horse. But that's just the situation that it is. And as I said, it's going to benefit some and not others. But equally, I still think the principals will all pitch up for their various different targets. And I'm sure they'll be in rude health. It'll still be there. The principals will be there fighting it out, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've said, 3-year-olds can take some time to come in hand, and often haven't had that much racing as 2-year-olds. Although one horse I'm sure we're really looking forward to seeing this year and to see what he can continue to do is Pinatubo. And of course, we've seen that he had plenty of racing last year and progressed. He's one of the most exciting horses we've seen for a long time. What would your hope be for him this year? Are you a yes or a no man? I know it's putting.
Oh, I'm very, 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 very much a yes man. My opinion of him hasn't changed just because we're racing. We're not going to see him for a delayed period of maybe 6 weeks. So I don't think he's going to disimprove or a whole lot in that period of time. So You know, he was of the highest quality, extremely high rating from last year, was, you know, hugely impressive in all his starts. And you know, I read that he's been away from home and has had a couple of race course gallops, so it was certainly one chance for today. So he's going to be prepared and ready for whenever the Guineas is scheduled to run. And, you know, as I said, in my opinion, as what I said at the back end of last year, he is still the one that everybody else has to improve to beat. And so, you know, there's great reports from Arizona that he's working extremely well as well, from what I gather. But at the end of the day, Pinatubo has the most solid form in the book, and in my opinion, he's the one that they all have to beat, even though it's a delayed return.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any other horses that really caught your eye last year that you're particularly looking forward to seeing back in action this season?
You know, there's various other horses. I mean, on a personal level, there's a filly of my players that Dermot Wells saying, Anna Grace has got an extremely good pedigree, Galileo filly, that was impressive in her maiden win at Leopardstown at the back end of last year. And we'll be hopeful that she will return at a very decent level. So, so I'm looking forward to her. And Pinatubo is the standout. But as I said, Arizona is another horse that I'll be really looking forward to seeing. And amongst others, but they're just a few.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this time last year, we were all about to be at the Curragh for the sort of grand opening on Guineas weekend, with the T-shirt Leo Varadkar there and the Aga Khan and, great crowds and very exciting new racecourse development. And obviously this year we're in a situation where probably most of us won't actually be seeing a racecourse for quite a while, unless we're leading up a runner. I guess really the thing is having that action back on, and HRI of course have had to deal with government when the government has an awful lot else on their plate as well, and have I guess done an awfully good job getting things back going and getting agreement on what's now an earlier date than some had feared.
Yeah, look, I mean, there was some criticism of HRI, which I'm sure was, I feel a little bit unfair, is that, you know, they were dictated to by government. And, while we all in the industry feel that, you know, racing is extremely important, and which it is to us and as a contributor to the economy, but the importance of horse racing resuming was a long way down the list of priorities for the government. So we have to understand that the powers that be at HRI were very much dictated to and were waiting on instruction from the government. So I think it's very unfair to criticise HRI for lack of communication or action, because I'm sure their hands were tied. There was very little they could actually do. That said, you know, there is a little bit of unease amongst the general trainers in general, really, at the present time, is that we have had confirmation of a return date of the 8th of June, and which is almost a week ago now since the confirmation that is the return date, and we still have no program published. And I think that is definitely causing a lot of anxiety amongst trainers and frustration. And so I think HRI, that is something, I know it's easier said than done, there's a lot of work that has to be put in to pull it together, but I do feel that now they need to really get it out there and publish, because trainers, as I said, have been extremely frustrated, and they're creatures of habit of planning and plotting and making arrangements for their horses, and so having no program has been quite frustrating for them. So the sooner that is published, the better, and then everyone can, trainers can reassure their owners that there is a certain target that they're all aiming for with their horses.
Yes, absolutely. And whatever level of horse you're training, it's good to have an aim. And, you know, through all of this, the owners of the horses generally have all been incredibly patient. Most owners of horses in training, we all know how expensive that is. So it's nice to be able to start to look at a program and think, oh, yes, I could, you know, even if I can't actually go, but my horse could be going here on a certain day. It's all about
exactly,
dreaming,
yeah. And as you say, it's very important. It's regardless of whether it's a pattern performer or a low-rated handicapper, it's irrelevant, really. Owners are paying bills and as you said, have been extremely understanding and patient in the last 2.5 months. And when there is, you know, there didn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel for a period there, they've continued to pay training fees and keep, various different trainers' businesses going. And in turn, that has kept a lot of people in jobs. So, that, you know, the owner has been vital cog as they are in racing at any given time, but especially in this most difficult time that we've had, have really kept the whole thing going. So I think it's only fair that now that we have a resumption date, and it's only fair that everybody can get the trainers can reassure them those owners of specific targets for their horses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've touched on this before a couple of times, actually, in your GDN column last year, about how important it is for racing to kind of really show people what goes on behind the scenes. You know, so much of the work is done at home and on the gallops, and there's an awful lot of care and welfare that goes into these horses. And I think, to me, it seemed, if there's an upside to a really unusual situation, it's been that trainers have really upped their game, and people associated with stables and stud farms have really upped their game in kind of putting out through social media and through their own websites and videos what's going on behind the scenes, because there's been no action on the track, but the horses are still in work. There's still a lot of work happening. Have you particularly enjoyed seeing, you know, some of the stuff that's been out there on social media? Is there anyone?
It's everything that I thought, you know, that we spoke about before, that I'd hoped would happen. And I really think that everyone, and I'm not saying that it's because I mentioned it, but people have really seemed to take into that idea and have really sold the sport in a very, very positive way. What Jamie Osborne has been doing is nothing short of extraordinary. I mean, it's hugely entertaining, but it just shows the camaraderie that's in the yard between amongst staff in a very difficult period. I think it's been just quite amazing. And I think just it shows the enjoyment that they are in working in a racing stable, and highlights how well cared for all, both the staff and obviously the horses are. And it's been nothing only short of spectacular, really, the stuff he's been putting up. And I think he should be seriously commended for it. And I'm sure he'll be repaid with a lot of new owners, I'm sure, in the future, because if I was to put a horse in training, a new owner entering into the game and have watched that, so you'd be putting Jamie Osborne to the top of your list for entertainment. So
yeah,
it's been really, really good. And another account that has been really informative is the Thoroughbred Tales that Sally Ann Grassick has set up. And as the various different people take up the account, and they've showed all different aspects of the industry, from breeding and racing, and that has been very, very positive in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. No, Eddie Harty was good on there a few weeks ago, and I think the host at the moment is Johnny Hassett of the Bloodstock Connection, showing his Breeze Up horses, and Brendan Holland's been putting a lot out through his social media on what goes into the Breeze Up side of the
business. I think that's been very, very informative, and Johnny Hassett has been doing an excellent job, and I think it's just been very, very positive, everything that, it's just going to show the time that various trainers and different people have had on their hands because of no racing. They've used it to the full advantage and sold the sport and the industry in a very, very positive way, which is can be not only beneficial to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And how's your Bloodstock empire at home? Have you got some nice foals this year?
Yeah, well, we took a very it was a clever decision about to buy a few foals to pinhook at the back end of last year. So we two that we bought and four that two that we bred. So we have four yearlings to sell this year. So that's going to be, timing hasn't been brilliant. I think it's going to be very difficult to sell horses this year. But no, thankfully we have those, and we've two brood mares with two foals at first. And so I found it very, very beneficial to have the farm and the few horses to take care of, and it's kept us amused through this difficult period.
Brilliant. Well, it sounds like you've got plenty to keep you occupied, and soon we'll be back glued to British and Irish racing, God willing, before too long. So I think we can all look forward to that.
Exactly, and the sooner the better, because as I said, at the end of the day, I think it's only we've all realised now that the whole industry at the end of the day revolves around horse racing, and if we don't have racing, everything suffers. So as I said, the sooner we have racing back, the better. And really looking forward to viewing some hopefully really good action in the coming months.
Absolutely. No, that's certainly we've got a feast of racing through June by the look of it. So let's hope everything goes to plan.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's been great to talk to you, Pat, as always. Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll be able to see you before too long.
Not at all, Emma. It's my pleasure. And hopefully we'll be able to get together soon on a racetrack, whether that's going to be a little bit down the road. But at least we'll have racing on our TVs very soon, hopefully.